What a beautiful, beautiful refrain that is. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. I can say with absolute certainty that that is very true for my own life. And I hope that you've discovered the blessing of knowing that it's true of your own. And so, before we get into our scripture reading this morning, if you look at the back of your sermon notes, I'm trying to encourage everyone in the congregation to commit to trying to memorize one verse a month. Might be two sometimes if there's two together that I ask you to memorize. But our verse for this month, 1 John 1:9, I would love for us to say it together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but the freedom from guilt and condemnation I receive every time I confess my sins is a tremendous blessing that I have in Christ. And He is always true to His word that He will forgive me every single time. No matter how much I mess up, when I confess my sins, when I humble myself before Him, He purifies me of that unrighteousness and helps me to experience His love in fresh new ways. And so, again, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And so I encourage you, take verses like that, commit them to your hearts. Commit them to your mind. And you will find that when you're in times of trouble, when you're dealing with fear, doubt, worry, whatever it might be, it's these verses that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance and will help you to say, you know what, that's not what God said. Yes, I messed up, but the Lord said that if I confess my sin, He will forgive me. And then the Holy Spirit will remind you of these verses that you're taking to heart. All right, our scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 3. For those of you who've been at Wednesday night Bible study, you've heard this passage before because we've been working our way through Galatians. We're halfway through chapter 4 in our Wednesday night study, and we've got a lot more to cover. But this morning, we're going to look at Galatians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, so again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? The Word of God for the people of God. Why do you think so many people who start something well end up finishing so poorly? What is it that causes us time and time again to drift away from what is working and embrace things that do not? When was the last time you found yourself in a mess because somewhere along the way you decided to do things on your own terms? And have you ever noticed the consequences of such short-sighted thinking? This is evident in everyday life, but nowhere is it more evident in this letter that Paul writes to the Galatian people. You see, Paul was writing them to encounter the arguments that were being made by a group of people we call the Judaizers. And this was a group of Jewish converts who was asking these Gentile believers to, even though they had believed in Christ, even though they had received the Holy Spirit and they were living by faith, these Jewish converts came in and said, we need you to keep the law. We need you to start keeping all the special days and having the festivals and being circumcised. And we need you to do everything that we're not able to do. And then, and only then, will you truly be a Christian. And so the people were buying it. They were like crafty salesmen, and the people were eating it up. And so here's Paul's letter to them, and he's like essentially asking them, what are you doing? Why, who has bewitched you, he says. In other words, who put you under this spell? Who made you so blinded to the truth that you were founded upon that you lost sight of what got you here? You know, I can't help but think back upon the Tennessee Titans when I think about this stuff, but because one of the biggest frustrations, if you watch football at all, that Titans fans had with the Titans is that they kept getting away from what they were good at. And it reached the point of the fans wanted them to run the ball with Derrick Henry. They were like, run the ball. Give him the ball 100 times a game. I don't care how many, but give him the ball. Quit dropping our quarterback back there to make a pass here and a pass there that lead to nothing. Give it to our running back and let the offensive lineman block. And this one game, and it was on national television that night, every time Derrick Henry would get sent to the bench, what did everybody do? They would boo. And instead of running our big, incredible running back, we ran our, and nothing against him, our smaller running back, who didn't do quite as good, right? And the fan base was getting so antsy. And in one game, they started chanting, Derrick, Derrick. I mean, they wanted him in that game so bad. I started chanting, Derrick, not that they could hear me. But I imagine people everywhere in front of the televisions were doing the same thing. And we all wondered, why won't they do what they're good at? Why won't they do what got them here? They had just won a number of games in a row doing one thing, running the football. Why did they stop? Why are they going back to what causes them to lose and trying to be cute and trying to do all these trick plays? Restaurants do the same thing, by the way. It's not just football. Right? Think about restaurants you know that are good at making a few things, and then next thing you know, you walk in there and they've added like 10 pages to their menu. And you're like, what are you doing? I mean, I've walked into barbecue places that try and make burgers and try and make all kinds of different foods instead of doing what they're good at. When I worked at McDonald's, what did they try and do? We started making yogurt parfaits for people. And I got news for you. I'd have to make those things every morning, you know, what we do at the end of every day, throw them in the trash can because no one wanted to eat them. Because how many people go to a place like that to buy a yogurt parfait? They were getting rid of what they were good at. They were moving away from it. And the Apostle Paul's like, that's what y'all are doing. Here, faith is what got you here. Faith is what changed your life, and you're believing when you heard the truth about Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and then on the third day he rose from the dead. You believed, and it was credited to you as righteousness, and then you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You experienced miracles. You've done all this stuff, and now you're going to throw all that away. To do what? To obey the Old Testament laws and rituals. And Paul's like, what are you doing? And so this morning as we look at this passage, I'm going to highlight three things for you about living by faith, because that's what Paul's challenge to them is. Live by faith. It's all about belief. It's all about living in faith and not trying to do deeds under the law. And so the first thing that we see is this, that living by faith is a challenge because our selfish nature longs to wrestle God for control. There's a part of us that always wants to be in control. There is a part of us that no matter how much God blesses us with, no matter how much grace we've received, no matter how much mercy's been poured out, we want to have control of our lives, not just what we do and how we do it, but how we even work out our own salvation. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. And so this is where the battle begins. Paul offers a series of rhetorical questions, right? He says, you foolish Galatians. And by the way, he's the term he uses there, he's not saying it in a mean way. He's saying it in a loving way. And that term for foolish is, when did you lose your wisdom? When did you stop doing the things that you knew were right? You foolish Galatians. You know, it's like a parent and a child when we see our children do something wrong and we just want to speak to them about what they're doing. And so he says, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Who put you under the spell? Remember, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And that word he uses, portrayed, it means like a clear public presentation, demonstration, in much the same way that if you're driving down the interstate, you see giant billboards, right? And they're clearly trying to get you to understand something, most of the time trying to get us to buy something. But in this instant, they're trying to, Paul's saying, didn't I clearly as humanly possible, help you to understand that Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, that is how you are born again. Why are you leaving that? And then he says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing? You know, we have to ask ourselves that question too. You think about every great thing that has happened in your journey of faith. The most memorable experiences that you have ever had, whether it was when you were first born again and your spirit was awakened, whether it was times where you experienced victory over sin, whether it was times when you were delivered from a situation. Did those come by things you did or by something Christ did? Who did the work? See, they knew the answer. They knew that the answer was all of that comes through Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross. And yet here they were running back to the things that would lead them nowhere. You see, people are drawn to the law because it offers a structured way to chase after hope, purpose, and satisfaction. Did you hear that? It offers a structured way to chase after hope, to chase after a purpose and satisfaction. But the problem with that is that the law was created to do none of those things, and it cannot do any of those things. And no matter how hard we try and make the law do that, no matter how hard we try and make and serve God in our fleshly efforts, it will never lead us to hope, purpose, and a satisfaction. Because here's the reality of the law. The law actually strips you of power. Instead of finding power, we run there to regain control. That if I can do this, then I can live out my faith on my own terms. And I follow God's word where it suits me, and I kind of take control of it. And when you try and live and balance the scales in your favor, like somehow that's what leads us to Christ, and that's what keeps us in Christ, the law actually strips you of power, because it's like you take the Holy Spirit and you shove him over to a corner of your heart and you lock him away. And then everything that you do is on the outside and not on the inside. Everything becomes to you about the extrinsic rather than the intrinsic. And so then you're not transformed. And then when the right moment happens, when pressure is put on you, the true nature of your heart comes bubbling out. That's why people can leave church and get in a situation and you can see them be as mean as any non-Christian could ever dream of being. Because they've locked the Holy Spirit away to that part of their heart. And instead given the enemy a foothold. Another thing the law actually does is it increases your pain. And you might wonder, well, how does that work? You know, because when you try and keep the law, when you try and keep a set of rules, what have we learned all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? When you try and keep those set of rules, you always fail. Amen? No matter how perfectly you try and do it, no matter how much energy you try and put into it, you fail. Right? I ask you this sometimes. How many of us have sinned this week? And every hand, if I asked for them, would go up in the air? And then what happens if you're trying to earn God's love through that, through your perfection, through your ability to be faithful? Then what happens is you always walk around condemned because you never measure up. Because no matter how much you try, you're always falling short of the glory of God. And so you walk around frustrated continuously because you're asking the law to do something it was never meant to do. We've talked about this on Wednesday night. The law was meant to show you how broken you are and how you need a Savior. That's the purpose of the Old Testament law. Yes, it helps you to know how to live. Yes, it helps you to interact with people on a better level and a better way. Absolutely, it does those things. But the number one purpose is to show you that without God's help, you can't do it. And so when we ask the law to do anything else, it strips us of your power and it increases our pain. And then we walk around like the person who's become a millionaire who doesn't know what to do with their money, so they still live like they're in poverty. And I don't know about you, but it burns my heart to see Christians who don't receive gladly the benefits they have in Jesus Christ, who aren't blessed by that. So that's the first thing that we see, is that living by faith is a challenge because we still want to have control. And we often wrestle that control away from God. The second thing we see is that living by faith always has and always will be the only way to become a mature believer. Living by faith is the only way to become a mature believer. You know, there were teachers then, just like there are teachers now, that say that, yes, you begin in Jesus Christ, but if you really want to grow into Jesus Christ, then you need to do this, or then you need to do that. My friends, if you want to grow in Jesus Christ, faith is the answer. Believing what God has promised, applying it to your life by faith. And as you do that, as you become more faith-centered, you will become more faithful. You see, when we get confused about what it means to be spiritually mature, we find ourselves chasing after all the wrong things. And then instead of producing fruit, we pursue deeds. And when somebody asks us how our Christian life is going, our answers are, well, I read my Bible every day. I have a great quiet time every morning. I go to church every Sunday. I'm there every Wednesday. If the doors are open, I'm doing something. We had a work day the other day. I did it. My friends, that's not the mark of spiritual maturity. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. Yes, we're going to talk about you will do those, a spiritually mature person will do all those things, but that won't be what they measure. You know what a spiritually mature person measures? You know what? I learned how to love that person that I used to think was unlovable. You know what? I learned how to forgive somebody that I never thought it was possible to forgive them. You know what? I learned how to be joyful in the most unpleasant of situations because of the abiding presence of Jesus Christ within me. You know what? I discovered the key to having peace even when my world has fallen apart, and that is because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See the difference? Instead of pointing to what you did, you're pointing to the relationship you have in Jesus Christ and the work that He has done and the activity that the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart. Those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and the list goes on. Those are produced as we mature in Christ. They're not things we attain. They're born out of a life relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's like oftentimes we're like a spouse or a parent who tries to show their love to the one they care about by doing things for them instead of just making time to be with them. I told you before, I always know when I need to stop whatever I'm doing and spend time with my kids because they start acting up. They start acting out. And I know it doesn't matter what I'm doing. The most important thing I can do in that moment is connect with them. And as I connect with them, that behavior begins to change. And could I approach it a different way? Could I put them in time out? Could I give them a spanking? Could I do... I've done those things before. Sometimes those things are very warranted. But so is always connecting with them and loving them and cherishing them. Living by faith always is how we mature in Christ. And my friends, if you can't point to any part of your life where you're living by faith, where you're walking by faith, and everywhere you turn, you're walking by sight, then it's going to be hard for you to grow. It's going to be hard for you to mature because what you're doing is through your own strength, your own wisdom, and your own power. Remember, Christ said, it's in my weakness that your strength is, or it's in your weakness that my strength is revealed. That's what Paul said about Christ. But when we work in our strength, we hide away the power of Christ in us. And we ignore it altogether oftentimes. And then our last thought. Living by faith enables you to experience the continuous outpouring of God's grace. I love the end of this passage. Verse 4 and 5. It says, have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, so again I ask you, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you've heard? You know, when he uses that word, work miracles among you, the language he uses in the Greek is the idea of working miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. It's this ongoing flow of God's grace into your life. And he's asking them, how did you experience that? Did you experience through trying to keep the law or believing in Jesus Christ? When we pray for somebody's healing, are they healed through our keeping of the law or are they healed by faith through Jesus Christ? When you don't know how to make ends meet and your finances are coming up short, do you find the solution by keeping the law or by faith in Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not saying that the law is bad. I'm not saying that rituals are bad. I'm not saying any of those things. Jesus said not one part of this law will depart. What I'm saying is this, that if we start there, we'll end and live a Christian life in our own strength, and it'll be very frustrating and unpleasant. But here's the thing that happens to somebody who lives in the Spirit and lives by the Spirit. You find yourself keeping the law. I don't know about you, but when I see somebody who is filled with the love of God, they're usually a pretty good neighbor, right? They're usually a pretty good friend to somebody in need. They usually know how to show kindness. When I find someone who's truly been forgiven, you know who makes the best forgivers? People who have been forgiven much. Isn't that what Jesus said? And so when we think about this, to experience those continuous outpourings, it all comes back to faith. You see, faith holds the key to every part of the Christian life. In fact, without faith, we're told in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. And that's because it is by faith you were redeemed. Right? It's not what led you to Christ. Who led you to Christ? How did you experience? Receive salvation. Was it through what you did or faith? So it's by faith you are redeemed. The Holy Spirit awakens you. It is also by faith you are being transformed in Christ. You are transforming in Him. It is an ongoing thing that happens each and every day. I don't know about you, but I hope that I'm not the same man I was 5 years ago. Right? I hope that all of us aren't the same people we were 5 years ago, because that means we're missing the boat. That means we're trying to do too much on our own instead of letting Christ change us. And our souls are still riddled with selfishness and impurities, and our hearts end up being very troubled. So it's by faith you are redeemed, it's by faith you are transformed, and it's by faith you are following in Christ. Everything is by faith. Nothing comes from the mere keeping of the law. You know, the scriptures say, if you have anger in your heart against anybody, you've murdered them. So that tells me if I'm trying to obey the law, I need to do what? Not be angry. Anybody ever tried not to be angry at somebody? I mean, I imagine you'd have to walk around, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry at this person, don't be angry at that person. And you're just telling yourself not to be angry, and what do you end up doing? Making yourself angrier than you would have been anyway. Because that's all you're thinking about. No, that's not the answer. Right? The answer is found in Christ. And He shows you, you know what, Kenny? What do you have to be angry about? Do you know how much of a sinner you are? How are you going to judge somebody else's sin? See the difference there? It's where we begin. It's where we abide. Are we going to live in the realm of faith, or are we going to live in the realm of works? That's what Paul's asking them. Which do you want to do? Remember, it's by faith that all of God's blessings are experienced. So the question for you is, do you want to live by faith today? Let us pray. Almighty God, we know the pull that is always from our fleshly natures, that desire to have control, to work out salvation on our own terms, to instead of abiding in you, to try and impress you, to try and take matters into our own hands and get away from the very thing that brought us into your presence in the first place. Lord, we help us to remember that we weren't reconciled to you through the deeds that we've done, but rather through the work that Jesus has done. It's by faith. Help us to grab a hold of that this morning. Lord, it's by faith that we overcome sin. Help us to remember that this morning. It's by faith that our hearts are healed. Help us remember that this morning. Everything that we do comes back to faith. Sometimes that can be harder. Sometimes that can be messier. But Lord, every time, that can be life-changing. Help us to experience a life that is rooted in walking by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning. If there is a part of your life that you know is kind of devoid of faith, where you've been trying, maybe for weeks, maybe for months, maybe for years, maybe for longer, and you've been trying to work it out one way or another through what you do instead of what He's done, come down to the altar and begin talking to the Lord about that. You want to see true victory in your life? It lies in faith. You want to see true hope, true purpose, true meaning, true satisfaction? It all comes back to faith. If you're here this morning and you're searching for those things, let's begin that conversation with the Lord.